is, sir, is...
Out with it, boy.
How can you eat things, sir?
Death pulled up short so that Mort walked into him. When the boy started to speak, he waved him into silence. He appeared to be listening to something.
There are times, you know, he said, half to himself, when I get really upset.
He turned on one heel and set off down an alleyway at high speed, his cloak flying out behind him. The alley wound between dark walls and sleeping buildings, not so much a thoroughfare as a meandering gap. Death stopped by a decrepit water butt and plunged his arm in at full length, bringing out a small sack with a brick tied to it. He drew his sword, a line of flickering blue fire in the darkness, and sliced through the string.
"I get very angry indeed," he said.
He upended the sack, and Mort watched the pathetic scraps of sodden fur slide out to lie in their spreading puddle on the cobbles. Death reached out with his white fingers and stroked them gently. After a while, something like grey smoke curled up from the kittens and formed three small cat-shaped clouds in the air. They billowed occasionally, unsure of their shape, and blinked at Mort with puzzled grey eyes. When he tried to touch one, his hand went straight through it and tingled.
"You don't see people at their best in this job," said Death.
He blew on a kitten, sending it gently tumbling. Its meow of complaint sounded as though it had come from a long way away via a tin tube.
"They're souls, aren't they?" said Mort. "What do people look like?"
"People-shaped," said Death. "It's basically all down to the characteristic morphogenetic field."
He sighed like the swish of a shroud, picked the kittens out of the air, and carefully stowed them away somewhere in the dark recesses of his robe. He stood up.
"Curry time," he said.
It was crowded in the curry gardens on the corner of God Street and Blood Alley, but only with the cream of society. At least with those people who are found floating on the top, and who therefore it's wisest to call the cream. Fragrant bushes planted among the tables nearly concealed the basic smell of the city itself, which has been likened to the nasal equivalent of a foghorn. Mort ate ravenously, but curbed his curiosity and didn't watch to see how Death could possibly eat anything. The food was there to start with and wasn't there later, so presumably something must have happened in between. Mort got the feeling that Death wasn't really used to all this, but was doing it to put him at his ease, like an elderly bachelor uncle who has been landed with his nephew for a holiday and is terrified of getting it wrong. The other diners didn't take much notice, even when Death leaned back and lit a rather fine pipe. Someone with smoke curling out of their eye sockets takes some ignoring, but everyone managed it.
"Is it magic?" said Mort.
"What do you think?" said Death. "Am I really here, boy?"
"Yes," said Mort slowly. I've watched people. They look at you, but they don't see you, I think. You do something to their minds."
Death shook his head. "They do it all themselves," he said. "There's no magic. People can't see me. They simply won't allow themselves to do it. Until it's time, of course. Wizards can see me, and cats. But your average human, no, never."
He blew a smoke ring at the sky and added,
"Strange but true."
Mort watched the smoke ring wobble into the sky and drift away towards the river.
"I can see you," he said.
"That's different."
The Clatchian waiter arrived with the bill and placed it in front of Death. The man was squat and brown with a hairstyle like a coconut gone Nova, and his round face creased into a puzzled frown when Death nodded politely to him. He shook his head like someone trying to dislodge soap from his ears and walked away. Death reached into the depths of his robe and brought out a large leather bag full of assorted copper coinage, most of it blue and green with age. He inspected the bill carefully. Then he counted out a dozen coins.
"Come," he said, standing up. "We must go."
Mort trotted along behind him as he stalked out of the garden and into the street, which was still fairly busy, even though there were the first suggestions of dawn on the horizon.
"What are we going to do now?"
"Buy you some new clothes."
"These were new today. Yesterday, I mean."
"Really?"
"Father said the shop was famous for its budget clothing," said Mort, running to keep up.
"It certainly adds a new terror to poverty."
They turned into a wider street leading into a more affluent part of the city. The torches were closer together and the middens further apart. There were no stalls and alley corner traders here, but proper buildings with signs hanging outside. They weren't mere shops.